I had some statistics here I wrote down a while back. I just was kind of curious about how other churches are doing. You know, small churches aren't the only ones that struggle. There's larger churches that are very much struggling as well, and especially here in Oregon, the Pacific Northwest. And I just want to read you some stats from the Oregon Pacific District of some of our larger churches. So Portland First, and this is where Kathy attended when we first got married, and she attended there when she was in high school and then in college. And so Portland First, in 1993, they were running almost 1,000. It was 956 people. It was just packed there. If you got there late, you had to go to the balcony because that's the way it was. And recently, they actually had to combine with the Beaverton Church. Beaverton Church at one point was running over 500. And so they combined their churches, and Portland First actually sold their property. And I don't know if you've ever been there. It's a really nice property. It's like four different levels. They have a huge gym, huge sanctuary, and all that. And I heard a rumor that it was sold to a Hindu temple, and I looked it up, and sure enough, it's now a Hindu temple. And the new church is called Nexus, and it's Beaverton and Portland First, the former Portland First, combined. And at one time, between the two of them, they ran almost 1,500. And in 2023 is when I really started researching this. They were at 290, so less than 300. And that's a five-time drop in attendance. Salem First Church, and we just had district assembly there for our district. In 1988, they were running 2,309 people on average for that particular year. In 2023, they were down to 358 people. McMinnville Church, in 2014, they were 1,170. In 2023, 505. So they only dropped by half. I say only. Roseburg Church, 1978, they were almost 600, 598 people. And there are two separate times that they were at 300. And they had different splits and different things that took place. And they were lower than this before coming out of COVID. In 2023, they were at 98 people. And then the Newport Church, you may not realize this, but 2004, they were at 614 people. And then in 2024, they were down to 131. This is a common theme in all the larger churches on our particular field, our Northwest region, which includes Colorado, Idaho, Washington, some parts of Utah. And so all the larger churches, and most churches are not really thriving right now. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to come back at some point, but a lot of people left. They did. And so today I just really want to talk about how we can really stay strong. And one of the ways that we stay strong, obviously, is to be a part of the church. The church is vital to how we would grow and how we would do things. But church is people. And so I want to really talk about the people today. Helps to turn it on. All right. So people we need to help us thrive. John 10:10, this is a very well-known scripture. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. This is Jesus talking. And certainly, the devil's going to... He's stolen a lot of people. He certainly has. He's tricked them. And their lives are just... They're not the same. And for whatever reason. But God wants us to stay connected, and he wants us to have different folks in our lives. And so... I look back at my own life, and I'm here today because of the people that have been in my life. Over and over again. I was looking through some old files on my computer here recently, and I came across a resignation letter. And it wasn't too long ago, as a matter of fact. And I looked at it, and I go, oh, man. I didn't even remember that I wrote that. But in some point where I was just really kind of discouraged, I did that. But there have been numerous times where I've thought about it, certainly, and typically it's on a Monday after you've been in church. As a matter of fact, Pastor John, he passed around to us pastors in our little zone area an article about how pastors can suffer from depression after Sundays, because you've gone through your whole week and it's kind of a letdown. But We need prayer warriors in our lives. We need people that will pray for us that we can also pray with. As a matter of fact, we need people that we can go to at any time. Now, I don't necessarily answer my phone at 3 in the morning, but if you have those 3 a.m. friends that you can call at any time, those are very essential. My phone's not on at night, so if you're trying to call me, I would answer it otherwise. But Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. So I know there are prayer warriors in this church. And find those people that will pray for you. My mom was my biggest support in prayer. She's with the Lord right now. I don't know the whole theology if she's praying for me now. I know that there's no sorrow in heaven, so she can't be looking down at me, I suppose. I don't know. But find those people that you can pray and pray for you and you can pray with. And they're right here in this body of Christ. You may have friends who are Christians. You may have relatives who are Christians. Get those people on board. There's lots of ways to spread the prayer nowadays. I remember being really discouraged at one time. I just sent out a blast on Facebook and had people praying. And if people don't like that, it's all right. I don't care. Because when we come right down to it, we need prayer. We truly do. Don't get to the point where you don't think you do. And so find those people. They're here. Be a part of the prayer groups as well. I was telling people we had prayer groups in a lot of the churches I was in. I said, even when we're in a group, you don't have to pray out loud. You can agree with what's being prayed. And then at some point, you might step in and say, okay, I'm going to be a little bit braver, and I'm going to share a prayer. When I was in Germany and learning German, I wrote out my prayers. I still have them in my Bible. I would pray the same prayers every single time because my German wasn't really fluent, but not at all, but I was able to at least read something. And I don't know if everyone even noticed, but that's the way I did it. So you need people who can encourage. I gave when I first was here, I was really preaching on encouragement and the importance of encouragement. And so we need to find those people who can be an encouragement to us. Acts chapter 11, verse 22 through 24, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. They're finding out good news is taking place. Then when they arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. All right. So find some people that can encourage you. And find ways that you can encourage yourself. I shared this the very first time we've talked about encouragement. We're responsible for our own encouragement. We can't necessarily count on other people, but we can go to people. And after a while, we're going to find out who those people are that can help to lift us up. And then maybe in our own encouragement, we can help to encourage others. And then it becomes mutual because we do reap what we sow. And if I can encourage someone else, it's quite possible that they're going to, in turn, encourage me when I'm at a low point. And so find those people as well. I've had lots of them in my life, fortunately. When I first moved to Oak Ridge and we had our group of pastors that would meet, I tell you what, that was a lifeline for me, truly, and going through a lot of different situations and things with my own family. And God really was there to help me over and over again, and especially through people like Pastor John and others who were a part of that group. A lot of people have moved on, but we still have a core, a remnant of people, and I try not to miss those meetings at all, if at all possible, because those are always an encouraging time for me. Tuesday, that's right. Find some people who are godly. And those people are here as well. Why do we do that? 1 Corinthians 11:1, this is Paul talking, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And so we're learning things throughout our time in this life. And one of the ways we learn is by watching other people. And that's one of the other important parts of being a part of a church, is looking at the mature Christians that are in our churches and in our fellowship, and we can see how they do things, and we can copy them and do the things they do as long as they are following Christ as well. So be very careful about that. And understand that there's sometimes that we would learn from people what not to do. And so that's just the way it is. We don't necessarily go on a purpose to do that, but we can see in lives of people and compare it with the Word of God that maybe this isn't how I should be. Now, when I was growing up as a kid, my church, I thought everyone is great, and they were awesome. I came to find out later, after I had graduated from college and moved away, that there was actually a group of people who were trying to get rid of the pastor. He ended up moving at some point because they were so difficult and hard with him. And so I really looked at those people when I was younger. I was kind of immature in my faith, but I thought those were very godly people, but they were acting incredibly ungodly in what they were doing. And so be very wary of that. But there are plenty of godly people and this body of Christ as well, and find those people. One of the ways that we can really grow, obviously, is also to be a part of Bible studies and small groups and those things that help us to keep learning about how we're to grow. But one of the things that I have tried to do in my own life is have mentors and people that maybe in my vocation or also just in through the Word of God, to be able to follow them. Years ago, I was at a youth conference, and the speaker's name was Howard Hendricks. He was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. He was speaking to the youth, and he said, "You need three people in your life." Now, I got seven, but three people. You need someone who is a Paul, someone who can mentor you. You need to have someone who is a Barnabas, someone who can encourage you. And you need to have a Timothy, someone that you can also invest in yourself. For many of us, that might be our kids or it might be our grandkids now. Or if you teach, and maybe someone just taking someone under your wing. At this point in my life, I really try to encourage younger pastors, especially youth pastors. That's kind of how people get started in ministry. And so I've tried to really be a mentor to many of them. And it not only encourages, hopefully, them, but also encourages me because I can invest in them because someone else invested in me at some point. So having those godly people, very, very important. And then people who can keep us accountable. I don't know, is anyone old enough here to remember Promise Keepers? Anyone ever go to a Promise Keepers event? Did they have one at Autzen Stadium at one point? I went one when they had the Kingdome. And that was when the Kingdome, probably not too long before, it was torn down. But we set a record there. It was a huge movement. It took its course, and God used it mightily, I believe. But I remember going to the Kingdome. It was so loud. They had all the pastors come down. I was like up at the 300 level. It took like 10 minutes to come down. And when I got to the floor, it was so loud in there because everyone was cheering us on. That I couldn't even talk to my boss and hear what he said. We had to yell at each other to be able to hear. It was very, very encouraging. And out of that, we formed an accountability group. And so we had, every week we would meet together, you'd have like, I think it was a dozen questions that you would have to answer to each one, each person. So you'd go around, take your turn. The questions were like, have you been in daily Bible reading and scripture this week? And so that would... You didn't want to necessarily say no, because then they say, well, why not? And so then you'd have to answer. And so you would try to do that. And I just want to let you know that the last question on that paper was, did you just lie to me? So you couldn't come back and lie about anything. Have you been above reproach in your finances? Have you been with a woman that may have looked inappropriate? Have you been faithful in this? And there was a variety of different things. And so it was a powerful time because we kept one another accountable. A lot of people didn't want to be a part of it because it was you know, you had to kind of really be serious about this. But the group that we had, it helped me during that time to really grow. Some people thought, well, it's more legalistic and things like that. I don't know, but I just know that there were times where it was, I look back and I go, man, that was a helpful time. And I made a list for teens when I was a youth pastor, and so we would meet with groups like that. But you have someone that can keep you accountable, someone that can ask you questions, and you can be honest with that person, and then that person can help you with, you know, what you might be dealing with. Those are things that are important as well. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, when Cephas or Peter came to Antioch, this is Paul saying, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. He was kind of shying away from the Gentiles, and Paul was having none of it. And so he got Peter actually back on track again, where he was supposed to be, where God wanted him to be. Number five, people who are concerned for our welfare. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Now, for everyone looks out for their own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. So apparently that particular time, Timothy was one of the ones that was really looking out for the interest of others that were there. So we need those people. And how that would look is, you know, like you come in and someone knows how you normally are, and they see you and you're kind of down or discouraged, and they say, hey, are you okay? How are things going? And then have a person in your life that you can actually be honest and open with. Yeah, I'm not doing very well right now. I'm tired, or I'm kind of sick still. So people asked me this morning, how you doing? Thank you for asking. I'm better than I was last week. I still kind of stuffed up, but last week I was just like, ooh. Find those people that really care about you, and they can see what's going on. Someone would say that it's empathy to be able to detect what is wrong with someone, and then it's compassion and sympathy to be able to actually do something about it. So we need people that can do both. They can see how we're doing, know something might be up, and then they're going to be caring enough to actually ask us, and then what can they do to help? And I pray for you. You know, you need some extra help. And so those are the type of people we need. When I was in Oak Ridge, I'm still living there, but the church, we had multiple talented people. I mean, people that could repair my car, people that could fix anything in the church that needed fixing. There was a time where they were pouring a new slab of concrete out in the parking lot themselves because they knew how to do that. There was a time where we had a sewer issue in our old building, and someone had a tractor, someone knew how to operate it, a backhoe, and so they actually dug the hole, and they had to hire it out to be able to have it paved because it was right next to Highway 58, but they were doing all that themselves. And so if I needed some type of help in that way, they were right there. And I'm really tempted to call them again here pretty soon, some different things, but if you have those people, maybe not, but we certainly have people that would care about us. And we would have people, hopefully, in our lives that would check on us. And especially if, you know, if we're gone from church maybe for a couple of weeks, they say, hey, we missed you. You know, how you doing? And just to check on those folks as well. All right. How about people who would share their wisdom? Acts chapter 5, 34, 35, 38, 39. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin. Now, this is when, I believe it was Peter and John were taken in because they were preaching the word. And so they took them and they wanted to figure out what to do with them because they didn't want them going out and preaching about Jesus. Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God. So very crucial that we have people in our lives that can share the wisdom that they have received and pass it on to us as well. Now, I look back in my life, I've had so many different people that have shared their wisdom with me. And sometimes I've asked for it because sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes people will share advice with us as well. Understand that even if people are being critical, we can still pick out maybe some truth in that as well. And so don't necessarily take offense to what people have to say. Some people may not be as good about communicating as others as well. But it's important that we have people that will share wisdom. Now, one thing that just even came to mind even this last week. So I'm doing this wedding up in the Seattle area next week. And I don't know if the state requires anything. And so I have a good friend up there from my past. His name is Ev Tustin. He's actually now the district superintendent for the Washington Pacific District. And even though he's a higher mucky-muck, he still hasn't forgotten the little people like me. So I messaged him. And I go, do I need to have anything? He says, no, not now. They'll have the wedding certificate, you sign it and write whatever is on there. And I go, great. And then I wrote him back and I just, you know, thank you and just kind of tried to catch up a little bit because we haven't seen each other for years. And then I got to thinking, Ev Tustin is one of the reasons that I had some success in youth ministry. And it was this simple. We were youth pastoring together. He was, I think, in Oak Harbor up in Washington. And I was at that particular time in Lebanon, Oregon. And he said, Mark, he goes, I got to tell you something. He goes, I'm trying to figure out ways to grow my youth group. And so I had a contest. I shared a little bit in one of the sermons about a contest I had. And he said, my youth group all of a sudden is up over 40 people, 40 kids. I go, man, that's awesome. And kind of left it at that. But then I started thinking, I'm going to start to implement what he shared. And so I had a little contest in Lebanon, Oregon. And one of the things I did also had a little contest for kids to bring people. And the winning prize was that someone would shave my head bald. It wasn't quite bald. And it's okay to be bald, isn't it? Yes. So at that particular time, it was very short. That was during the time where there were skinheads up in Portland, and so I tried to avoid that area. But I also had a little contest where we went up to a water park up in Washington, and then I did it again over and over and over and over again. And not every time, but most times, it succeeded to grow our group. It may not have lasted super long, but at least we had new kids in, and sometimes it was like a tiger by the tail. But we had it one time in Elko, Nevada. I have a church of about 50, 60 people there. It's smaller than this. We could basically, this was the amount of room we had, but just on one side. And we had a basement, and so we started a youth center on Friday nights for middle schoolers. And we combined with a Foursquare pastor who was a good friend, and we actually had their information. We passed it out and had kids pass out invitations, and we're going to have a contest. The winning prize is a trip to the amusement park in Salt Lake City. All of a sudden, we're running 50 kids in this little area, the size of your house. And there was some of the older kids, and they said, hey, we want to have a band. And so they said, that's great. And so they started practicing. Their dad bought them an old station wagon with a back seat so they could fit 9 kids. And so they would go and pick up all the kids. They come, and they would practice. And they would sing to the kids, and I actually found out later that I could have counted that as church. We didn't do it, but so those are the types of things, just one little thing that someone passed on that helped me so much. And I could go on and on about how different people have helped in my life, but there's wisdom to be shared, folks. And part of it is in the body of Christ. And we miss out if we are not connected. And then the last one. You got to have people you can trust. One of the worst things that takes place in the lives of people why they drop out is because of betrayal. And I imagine if I had a show of hands here today, I bet most of us, not all of us, but at some point, raise your hands if I ask, have you ever faced or experienced betrayal? Don't have to hold it, raise your hand. Yep, okay. All right, you want to raise your hand? Do it. Yep. So that's a devastating thing. And I believe one of the reasons, and one of the strong reasons why people drop out and leave church is because someone betrayed them, someone they really trusted. And that's hard to do. It's hard to entrust people. It really is. Because maybe the people that you even trusted, maybe let you down. And that's why forgiveness is very important. Pastor John had a wonderful sermon on forgiveness back right at the end of last year. We need to find those people. And sometimes you have to put yourself out there to allow someone to come into your life. But we can also be careful about it, too. We can pray for discernment. We can check with other people. One of the things that Pastor John and I have done with him is, if I had someone that has given me some difficulty in my old church in Oak Ridge, I would tell him who it is, just in case that person ends up here somehow. And so there can be some type of a heads up. But finding people you can trust is so important. 1 Samuel 19:6 and 7, Saul listened to Jonathan and took his oath. As surely as the Lord lives, David will not be put to death. So Jonathan called David and told him the whole conversation. He brought him to Saul, and David was with Saul as before. So here's the challenge for us today. Just surround ourselves with people who will help us to really, truly thrive in Jesus. And I know they're right here. And you may have other folks and other Christian friends and family and all, but find those people that are going to help you not just to survive in this life, but also to thrive. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity that I've had to be here, Lord. And just reminding myself even today, Lord, we need people in our lives, Lord, to help us to continue to go forward. I am grateful for all the people I've had in my life, Lord. I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for my friendship with Pastor John and the other pastors in this area. And Lord, I pray that you would just help each one here. And maybe some who have dropped out, Lord, that somehow, some way, the church could reach out to them. But Lord, through your Holy Spirit also, that you could draw them back and help them to stay connected to you, Lord. Because that's one of the things that the devil certainly wants to do, is to separate us. And Lord, there's lots of ways he does it. So Lord, please put a hedge of protection on each one here today. And again, Lord, help us in what we need to do in order to have that life abundantly. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.